Out of the depths I have cried unto you, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If you, Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? But there is forgiveness with you, that you may be feared. I wait for the Lord. My soul does wait, and in his word do I hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. I say, more than they that watch for the morning. Let Israel hope in the Lord, for with him, the Lord, there is mercy, and with him is plenteous redemption. Listen in as we hear this beautiful psalm put to music. Welcome to the Daily Audio Torah. Today is June 12th. Now let's continue our journey reading through the entire Bible in 1 year. This week we are reading from the Israel Bible for the Old Testament and from the King James for the New Testament. Numbers 7, 1 to 40. On the day that Moses finished setting up all the Mishkan, he anointed and consecrated it, and all its furnishings, as well as the altar and its utensils. When he had anointed and consecrated them, the chieftains of Israel, the heads of ancestral houses, namely the chieftains of the tribes, those who were in charge of enrollment, drew near and brought their offering before Hashem, 6 draught carts and 12 oxen, a cart for every 2 chieftains and an ox for each one. When they had brought them before the Mishkan, Hashem said to Moses, "Accept these from them for use in the service of the tent of meeting and give them to the Levi'im according to their respective services." Moses took the carts and the oxen and gave them to the Levi'im. 2 carts and 4 oxen he gave to the Gershonites as required for their service, and 4 carts and 8 oxen he gave to the Merarites as required for their service, under the direction of Itamar, son of Aaron the Kohen. But to the Kohathites he did not give any, since theirs was the service of the most sacred objects. Their porterage was by shoulder. The chieftains also brought the dedication offering for the altar upon its being anointed. As the chieftains were presenting their offerings before the altar, Hashem said to Moses, "Let them present their offerings for the dedication of the altar, 1 chieftain each day." The one who presented his offering on the first day was Nashon, son of Amminadab, of the tribe of Yehudah. His offering, 1 silver bowl weighing 130 shekels and 1 silver basin of 70 shekels by the sanctuary weight, both filled with choice flour with oil mixed in for a meal offering. 1 gold ladle of 10 shekels filled with incense, 1 bull of the herd, 1 ram and 1 lamb in its first year for a burnt offering, 1 goat for a sin offering, and for his sacrifice of well-being, 2 oxen, 5 rams, 5 he-goats, and 5 yearling lambs. That was the offering of Nashon, son of Amminadab. On the second day, Nathaniel, son of Zuar, the chieftain of Issachar, made his offering. He presented as his offering 1 silver bowl weighing 130 shekelim, and 1 silver basin of 70 shekelim by the sanctuary weight, both filled with choice flour, with oil mixed in for a meal offering, 1 gold ladle of 10 shekels filled with incense, 1 bull of the herd, 1 ram and 1 lamb in its first year for a burnt offering, 1 goat for a sin offering, and for his sacrifice of well-being, 2 oxen, 5 rams, 5 he-goats, and 5 yearling lambs. That was the offering of Nathaniel, son of Zuar. On the third day, it was the chieftain of the Zebulunites, Eliab, son of Helon, his offering, 1 silver bowl weighing 130 shekelim, and 1 silver basin of 70 shekelim by the sanctuary weight, both filled with choice flour with oil mixed in for a meal offering, 1 gold ladle of 10 shekelim filled with incense, 1 bull of the herd, 1 ram and 1 lamb in its first year for a burnt offering, 1 goat for a sin offering, and for his sacrifice of well-being, 2 oxen, 5 rams, 5 he-goats, and 5 yearling lambs. That was the offering of Eliab, son of Helon. On the fourth day, it was the chieftain of the Reubenites, Elitzur, son of Shadur. His offering, one silver bowl weighing 130 shekels and one silver basin of 70 shekels by the sanctuary weight, both filled with choice flour with oil mixed in for a meal offering, one gold ladle of 10 shekels filled with incense, one bull of the herd, one ram and one lamb in its first year for a burnt offering, one goat for a sin offering, and for his sacrifice of well-being, two oxen, 5 rams, 5 he-goats, and 5 yearling lambs. That was the offering of Elitzur, son of Shadur. On the fifth day, it was the chieftain of the Simeonites, Shelumiel, son of Zurishaddai. His offering, one silver bowl weighing 130 shekelim, and one silver basin of 70 shekelim by the sanctuary weight, both filled with choice flour with oil mixed in for a meal offering. One gold ladle of 10 shekelim filled with incense, one bull of the herd, one ram and one lamb in its first year for a burnt offering, one goat for a sin offering, and for his sacrifice of well-being, 2 oxen, 5 rams, 5 he-goats, and 5 yearling lambs. That was the offering of Shelumiel of Zurishaddai. First Kings 9:1-10:29. When Solomon had finished building the house of Hashem and the royal palace and everything that Solomon had set his heart on constructing, Hashem appeared to Solomon a second time, as he had appeared to him at Gibeon. Hashem said to him, I have heard the prayer and the supplication which you have offered to me. I consecrate this house which you have built, and I set my name there forever. My eyes and my heart shall ever be there. As for you, if you walk before me as your father David walked before me, wholeheartedly and with uprightness, doing all that I have commanded you and keeping my laws and my rules, then I will establish your throne of kingship over Israel forever, as I promised your father David, saying, Your line on the throne of Israel shall never end. But if you and your descendants turn away from me, and do not keep the commandments and the laws which I have set before you, and go and serve other gods and worship them, then I will sweep Israel off the land which I gave them. I will reject the house which I have consecrated to my name, and Israel shall become a proverb and a byword among all peoples. And as for this house, once so exalted, everyone passing by it shall be appalled and shall hiss. And when they ask, Why did Hashem do thus to the land and to this house? They shall be told, It is because they forsook Hashem their God, who freed them from the land of Egypt, and they embraced other gods, and worshipped them, and served them. Therefore, Hashem has brought all this calamity upon them. At the end of the 20 years during which Solomon constructed the two buildings, Hashem's house and the royal palace, since King Hiram of Tyre had supplied Solomon with all the cedar and cypress timber and gold that he required, King Solomon in turn gave Hiram 20 towns in the region of Galilee. But when Hiram came from Tyre to inspect the towns that Solomon had given him, he was not pleased with them. My brother, he said, what sort of towns are these you have given me? So they were named the land of Kabul, as is still the case. However, Hiram sent the king 120 hikarim of gold. This was for the purpose of the forced labor which Solomon imposed. It was to build the house of Hashem, his own palace, the Millo, and the wall of Jerusalem, and to fortify Hazor, Megiddo, and Gezer. Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, had come up and captured Gezer. He destroyed it by fire, killed the Canaanites who dwelt in the land, and gave it as dowry to his daughter, Solomon's wife. So Solomon fortified Gezer, lower Beth Horon, Baalath, and Tamar in the wilderness in the land of Judah, and all of Solomon's garrison towns, chariot towns, and cavalry towns, everything that Solomon set his heart on building in Jerusalem and in the Lebanon and throughout the territory that he ruled, all the people that were left of the Amorites, Hittites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites who were not of the Israelite stock, those of their descendants who remained in the land and whom the Israelites were not able to annihilate, of these Solomon made a slave force, as is still the case. But he did not reduce any Israelites to slavery. They served rather as warriors and as his attendants, officials and officers, and as commanders of his chariotry and cavalry. These were the prefects that were in charge of Solomon's works and were foremen over the people engaged in the work, who numbered 550. As soon as Pharaoh's daughter went up from the city of David to the palace that he had built for her, he built the Milo. Solomon used to offer burnt offerings and sacrifices of well-being 3 times a year on the altar that he had built for Hashem. And he used to offer incense on the one that was before Hashem. And he kept the house in repair. King Solomon also built a fleet of ships at Ezion-Geber, which is near Eloth on the shore of the Sea of Reeds in the land of Edom. Hiram sent servants of his with the fleet, mariners who were experienced on the sea, to serve with Solomon's men. They came to Ophir. There they obtained gold in the amount of 420 kikirim, which they delivered to King Solomon. The queen of Sheba heard of Solomon's fame through the name of Hashem, and she came to test him with hard questions. She arrived in Jerusalem with a very large retinue, with camels bearing spices, a great quantity of gold. Camels bearing spices, a great quantity of gold and precious stones. When she came to Solomon, she asked him all that she had in mind. Solomon had answers for all her questions. There was nothing that the king did not know, nothing to which he could not give her an answer. When the queen of Sheba observed all of Solomon's wisdom and the palace that he had built, the fare of his table, the seating of his courtiers, the service and attire of his attendants, and his wine service, and the burnt offerings that he offered at the house of Hashem, she was left breathless. She said to the king, "The report I heard in my own land about you and your wisdom was true, but I did not believe the reports until I came and saw with my own eyes that not even the half had been told me. Your wisdom and wealth surpass the reports that I heard. How fortunate are your men, and how fortunate are these your courtiers, who are always in attendance on you and can hear your wisdom. Praise be Hashem your God, who delighted in you and set you on the throne of Israel. It is because of Hashem's everlasting love for Israel that he made you king to administer justice and righteousness." She presented the king with 120 kikirim of gold and a large quantity of spices and precious stones. Never again did such a vast quantity of spices arrive as that which the queen of Sheba gave to King Solomon. Moreover, Hiram's fleet, which carried gold from Ophir, brought in from Ophir a huge quantity of almug wood and precious stones. The king used the almug wood for decorations in the house of Hashem and in the royal palace, and for harps and lyres for the musicians. Such a quantity of almug wood has never arrived or been seen to this day. King Solomon, in turn, gave the Queen of Sheba everything she wanted and asked for, in addition to what King Solomon gave her out of his royal bounty. Then she and her attendants left and returned to her own land. The weight of the gold which Solomon received every year was 666 kikarim of gold, besides that what came from tradesmen, from traffic of the merchants, and from all the kings of Arabia and the governors of the regions. King Solomon made 200 shields of beaten gold, 600 shekelim of gold to each shield, and 300 bucklers of beaten gold, 3 manim of gold to each buckler. The king placed them in the Lebanon forest house. The king also made a large throne of ivory, and he overlaid it with refined gold. 6 steps led up to the throne, and the throne had a back with a rounded top, and arms on either side of the seat. 2 lions stood beside the arms, and 12 lions stood on the 6 steps, six on either side. No such throne was ever made for any other kingdom. All King Solomon's drinking cups were of gold, and all the utensils of the Lebanon Forest House were of pure gold. Silver did not count for anything in Solomon's days, for the king had a Tarshish fleet on the sea along with Hiram's fleet. Once every 3 years, the Tarshish fleet came in bearing gold and silver, ivory, apes, and peacocks. King Solomon excelled all the kings on earth in wealth and in wisdom. All the world came to pay homage to Solomon and to listen to the wisdom with which Hashem had endowed him. And each one would bring his tribute, silver and gold objects, robes, weapons and spices, horses and mules, in the amount due each year. Solomon assembled chariots and horses. He had 1,400 chariots and 12,000 horses, which he stationed in the chariot towns and with the king in Jerusalem. The king made silver as plentiful in Jerusalem as stones, and cedars as plentiful as sycamores in the Shephelah. Solomon's horses were procured from Mizraim and Kew. The king's dealers would buy them from Kew at a fixed price. A chariot imported from Mizraim cost 600 shekels of silver, and a horse 150. These in turn were exported by them to all the kings of the Hittites and the kings of the Arameans. Acts 8, 14 to 40. Now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent to them Peter and John, who, when they were come down, prayed for them, they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then they laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. And when Simon saw that through laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money, saying, "Give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands he may receive the Holy Ghost." But Peter said to him, "Your money perish with you, because you have thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. You have neither part nor lot in this matter, for your heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent, therefore, of this wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of your heart may be forgiven you. For I perceive that you are in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity." Then answered Simon and said, "Pray to the Lord for me, that none of these things which you have spoken come upon me." And they, when they had testified and preached the word of the Lord, returned to Jerusalem, and preached the gospel in many villages of the Samaritans. And the angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, "Arise, and go toward the south to the way that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza, which is desert." And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, had come to Jerusalem for worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said to Philip, "Go near and join yourself to this chariot." And Philip ran to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, "Do you understand what this means?" And he said, "How can I, except some man should guide me?" And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this: "He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare this generation? For his life is taken from the earth." And the eunuch answered Philip and said, "I pray, of whom does this prophet speak? Of himself or of some other man?" And then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached to him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, See, here is water. What does hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, If you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. Psalm 130, 1-8. Out of the depths have I cried to you, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If you, Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? But there is forgiveness with you, that you may be feared. I wait for the Lord. My soul does wait, and in his word do I hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. I say, more than they that watch for the morning. Let Israel hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is plenteous redemption, and he shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities. Proverbs 17, 2 and 3. A wise servant shall have rule over a son that causes shame, and shall have part of the inheritance among the brethren. The refining pot is for silver, and the furnace for gold, but the Lord tries the hearts. Please enjoy this beautiful worship song, Psalm 5, sung by the Maranatha Singers.
Hearken unto the voice of my cry.